tell us what they were thankful for. If you notice, there were several of our county commissioners there. Our sheriff was in there, mayor of Lafayette. And so just a great little time we had just talking to those folks. And I'm thankful. Thursday is Thanksgiving. Children, you can go. Thursday is Thanksgiving. We wanted, though, instead of waiting until next weekend and talking about Thanksgiving, we wanted to do it today. We do a lot of things after the fact, but we're trying to get ahead of the game a little bit and set things up so that as we go into those things, that we'll appreciate them, understand them better. So I'm trusting that the lesson today will help us all be more thankful, to understand more about what Thanksgiving really is and what it's about. So our lesson today, the title is Thanksgiving 2001. You know, taking time. You like that turkey? I like the next picture better. I like the picture because this is the part that I really like about the turkey. But Thanksgiving is more than turkey and cranberry sauce and dressing and gravy and pies. I love it. I love that part of it. But it really is more than that. So I want to talk about Thanksgiving and what does it really mean? Is it a biblical thing? I think before we leave, you'll see that it is and how it should really be experienced. I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 16. I'll be there in just a little while. I'm going to develop this, what I want to say, and then we'll get there. But I want you to go ahead and be there when I get to it. So Deuteronomy chapter 16. Now, Thanksgiving in America is linked to the first settlers in Massachusetts. I want to remind us just a little bit because I think it was interesting to me as I studied it this week and was reminded from school days as to what it was really about, how this particular thing of we call Thanksgiving evolved into America's society. And as you remember, or maybe you don't, but as I remind you, that around the 1600s, the Jamestown settlement that was in Virginia became a very much talked about thing going on in Europe, particularly England and those kinds of places. And it actually, entrepreneurs saw that it could be a money-making adventure. And some capitalists decided, well, let's start a new one. Let's start a new one around the Hudson River, and then we'll charge people, and we'll make money sending them over there, and it'll be a capitalistic adventure. Well, some Christians decided they wanted to do this. They wanted to go to America. And so they were there, and some, of course, some entrepreneurs that wanted to go over there for money reasons. Anyway, 102 of them decided they were going. And through a series of events, they eventually got the Mayflower and went to America. And around 60 days later, they took off sailing on September the 16th, 1620. They arrived on November the 26th, 1620. Now, I know most of us that live in this region don't know a lot about the ocean that time of the year. But the ocean that time of the year is treacherous, especially when you're in a 1600 model boat and you're sailing from England to America across the Atlantic Ocean. And it was devastating to these 102 people. The weather was horrendous. People became very ill. They were locked downstairs. They were stored as it was. They had to stay in the bottom parts of the vessel. The sick ones contaminated other ones. And before they got there, nearly everyone was sick. And they arrived, and 102 people, nearly half of those were children, stepped onto the shores. But they were at Cape Cod rather than the Hudson River, 500 miles off course. 500 miles north in the late of the year, of course. The weather was devastating. They came south a little bit and finally got to Plymouth, Massachusetts, where they began their colony. Within a couple of months, over half of those passed away and died. Only four women remained. And half of those were children. Half of those, not the women, but half of the people that were, the 50 that were alive, were children. And so that's how they began their life in America. Very, very devastating, very, very severe situations. So what happened is that as I studied this year, I mean this week, and was looking at this, I saw something this time that I had never seen before. And I want to share this with you because I think it's so interesting about Thanksgiving. If it had not been for the Native American, for the red man, probably all of those 102 would have died. The American Indian, the Native American, the red man took those people, gave them shelter, gave them food, taught them how to hunt, to fish, taught them how to plant American corn, harvest it, and help them survive those devastating months of winter. And so what Thanksgiving really was, and they really celebrated it in late July, maybe early August, but what Thanksgiving really was, were these 50-some-odd Americans, or 50-some-odd Caucasians from Europe, pilgrims, really thanking the American Indians, the American Native, for what they had done for them. In the first Thanksgiving, which is the picture that you're seeing, going to see right now, in the first Thanksgiving, you know, we've always seen this picture of Indians or American Native Americans eating with pilgrims. There were 90 American Indians and 50 pilgrims. What the pilgrims were doing were simply thanking those people for helping them. And so at the very core of Thanksgiving is not religion so much as it is being thankful for people. At the very core of what we're experiencing this coming week is being thankful for people that God has put into your life. Had it not been for those 90 Indians, 90 really Americans, those pilgrims wouldn't have made it. And there's people in your life and there's people in my life that if God hadn't put them there, we wouldn't have made it. Amen. And that's what Thanksgiving's about. Anyhow, 50 years later, 55 years actually later, in June 1676, a proclamation was made to express every year's thankfulness. But this was only for the Plymouth community. The first national Thanksgiving was declared in 1777 by the Continental Congress. But then finally in 1863, the last Thursday in November was declared America's annual Thanksgiving Day. It's important. It's important. It's important who God puts in our lives. And it's important to be thankful for them. Your joy, your blessings, your harvest is all connected with your being thankful. And I want to talk about that. Now, is this a biblical thing? What does the Bible say about Thanksgiving? Well, taking a special time and being thankful is biblical. In fact, God has put into His Word three times every year that He wants His people to take time and be thankful. Now, this was worked into the Old Covenant, and it should be worked into our lives. And I want to briefly talk about some of these things, but it's extremely important to the Lord that we take time and be thankful. Take time. In other words, purpose it. You know, Thursday is going to be the day, but I so encourage you that this Thursday or sometimes this week, thank God for being God and for what He's done in your life, but also find time and thank people for being people. And what they've done in your lives. Take time. Now I want to talk quickly about these three times. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, I want to read this to you. Three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place He will choose. At the feast, number one, of unleavened bread, the feast, number two, of weeks, and the feast, number three, of tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. These are feasts. What does a feast mean to you? This is a banquet. It's a festival where there's plenty to eat and drink. This is a fun time. You know, one thing that always gets me a lot about Christians is I see so many unhappy Christians. You know what they need to do? They need to go to a feast. They need to go find a place and be thankful. A feast, three times a year. God says, I want you to think about things. Take time and think about something. These three things are so important to me. I'm going to set a special time apart, and I want you to do them three times. And He says, I want you men to do them. I want you men to do them. I want you men to stop what you're doing and take your families, and you take your families before me, and you start giving me thanks for these things. I want you men to bring your families to Jerusalem. I want your men. Now, and I want to say this. These were not the normal Sunday time. How many is thankful for Sundays? Aren't you glad to come in here on Sundays and have a wonderful place to worship and praise God and have a good time? Yeah, but this is not that. This is something different. They had their community synagogues. They had their little community churches. But He says, I want you to take three vacations a year and just be happy and have a ball. And feast. This is what David was talking about. This is exactly what David was talking about in Psalms 100. We've already looked at some of those verses, but I want to read 101 through verse 5 to you. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. What kind of noise? Joyful noise. You know, don't be grumbling and complaining. You know, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. How many people? Just the believers? Come on. Just the Christian countries? Just the Christian people? How many? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with
thanksgiving.
God wants us to be thankful when we come before Him. Thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Hallelujah. This wasn't just for one generation or two. This is for all of us. Hallelujah. When we come before the Lord, there's three specific times a year He wants us to come into His presence, enter His gates, and be thankful. Yeah. A key thought is coming before the Lord. And coming before the Lord is to have fun. Have thankfulness. Be happy. And three specific times it should be a feast. It should be something to do with food. Something to do with drink. Something to do with fun. It should be a special time. The first feast. Let me talk about these three feasts quickly. These three things that are so important to God. He says, I want you to take these specially and set them apart three times a year. I want to talk about them briefly. These are not my topic, and I'm a little on a rabbit trail, but it's not much. I just want you to see how God sets this apart for us. First one was Passover. It was called the Feast of Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He said, I want you to take time. I want you to think about this. Take the Passover lamb, He told them. And do you remember the story of Passover lamb in Egypt? How the blood was taken and applied to the house? God wants household salvations. He applied the blood to the house, and those people were delivered and came out of bondages in Egypt. And it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is our Lamb of God. And He's talking about, you need to take time sometimes during the year and be thankful for that salvation that God gave you. We need to find a time. And we call it in American society the time of Easter. And that's the time that America kind of sets apart. And to be thankful. And we get together with family. And we get together with friends at Easter time, don't we? See, we do this. And we're thankful. Thankful for that Passover lamb. Oh, I'm so thankful for the time He got me right in His house, in His bedroom. We went there and prayed and knelt down, and the lamb was applied to my life. Be thankful for that. Take time. You know, some of you have, I mentioned it, God wants household salvation. Some of you have spouses or children or someone in your home that's not serving God. You know what you need to do? You need to take time and be thankful for Him for what He has done in your life. And as you're being thankful for Him, expect Him to move upon the rest of your home. Because He wants your whole household. The second feast. It's called the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. Now, this was when people, after the harvest of the barley and the wheat, they came in. It was 50 days after Passover, and the people would come in, and they were glad that they had bread, had grain for their daily bread. What is our daily bread? It's the Word of God. It's Jesus. Eat of Him, He says. Drink of Me. Jesus fulfilled that. That was fulfilled on Pentecost Day when the Holy Ghost came. Remember? In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came into the house and filled the whole house and then filled all the people. You know, we need to stop and be thankful for the Spirit of God in our lives. We need to just stop sometimes and say, thank you, Jesus, that I have the Spirit of God in my life. Now, I believe that I believe that we receive Jesus and His Spirit when we come into initial salvation, but there is more of the Spirit we can have. They all knew Jesus. They had ate the Passover lamb at the Lord's Supper, remember? He said, this is my body, eat it. This is my blood, drink it. They had done that. 50 days later, they're having something else happen in their lives. They're having an experience with the Spirit of God. See, it's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to have an experience in that salvation. It's one thing to eat Jesus and have Him into your life, and Him to become a part of you. But then there's another thing when the Spirit of God in our life causes us to have a relationship with Him. And that's what happened to them. And there's a time we need to just be thankful that the Spirit of God is in our lives. Take time. It's important to God. It's important to God that we take time. And of course, the third one, which is in context of what we're talking about today. The third feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. This feast, and this is where you're at now in Deuteronomy chapter 16. I want you to look at verse 13. This feast was at the end of the year. It's around this time of the year. This feast was a seven-day feast. Let's read it. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press, be joyful at your feast. You, your sons and daughters, your men servants, and your maid servants. Let me stop there just a second. You know, be joyful. You know, thank God for your children. You know, at this feast, thank God for your parents. Thank God for your wife or your husband. Be thankful. And then he says, be thankful for your men servants and your maid servants. Be thankful for the people you work with. I am so thankful for my son who also works with me. Most of what you see here, he does. I am so thankful of Steve and Paul. I am so thankful for many of you that work with me here. I am so thankful. Are you thankful for the people? Heard the guy talk about how thankful he was for KC. You know, are we thankful? Be thankful, he says. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for your spouse. Be thankful for the people that you work with. Be thankful for the Levite. Be thankful for me. Be thankful for your pastor. Amen. Come on. Amen. God put me here for you. He put you here for me. Be thankful. I'm thankful for my pastor. You know, we don't tell each other how thankful we are for them. And he says, this time of the year, what I want you to do is take time and be thankful for people. Do you see what he's saying here? He's not saying here, be thankful for God. Now we need to be thankful for God. But what he's saying here is be thankful for people. Be thankful for your children. Be thankful for people you work with. Be thankful for your preacher. Be thankful for aliens. I don't know about your Thanksgiving feast. But at our Thanksgiving feast, we have all of these. We have aliens there. I mean, they're from another world. Now that's, I know that's not what it means here. It means foreigners. But strange people, different people. Be thankful for them. Minister to them. Tell them about Jesus. We have all of these. We have in our Thanksgiving feast, we have moms and dads, and we have children and grandchildren, and we have aliens, and and some of the strangest people come. And, you know, aliens will bring aliens. And then we have these widowers and these orphans. My sister-in-law is a widower. He said, be thankful for them. Spend time with them. Make Thanksgiving special for them. Orphans come. We have kids that will come into there. And their parents may not be dead, but they're still orphans. You know what I'm talking about? Yep. Spend time with them, he says. Make it special. Rejoice with them. And though we have all this conglomeration of all kinds of people, you know what? When it's over and everybody leaves, everybody's full of food, and everybody leaving happy because we've had memories. We've had thoughts. We remember. We think back. I get to pray over the food, and I get to find some place in there and some time to talk to somebody about Jesus. I'm thankful for that. See, that's what it's really about. It's about people. Let me finish reading this passage. Let me read verse 14 one more time. Be joyful at your feast, you, your sons and daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, the Levites, the aliens, the fathers, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the feast of the Lord. Take time. Feast of the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God. Now get this part. And this is what I really want you to say today. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. Now let me emphasize this. Make sure you don't miss this part. This is the message. See, your harvest is directly connected with your being thankful. If you want a continued harvest tomorrow, be thankful for the harvest that you have today. If you want joy in your life, and some don't have it, joy is connected directly to being thankful. You'll find, and it never fails, the people that aren't thankful aren't joyful. People that aren't joyful aren't thankful. Your joy is directly connected to being thankful, taking time. Your harvest tomorrow is being thankful for the harvest that you have today. Amen. If you're not having a harvest today, you're probably a bitter person. You're probably an angry person, and you haven't thanked God properly or thanked people properly for what you have in your life. And it's not going to get better until you become thankful. All day long, the Spirit of the Lord's been saying, you press, and then He responds by pressing. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. You be thankful, and He'll bless your life. He'll give you a harvest. You be thankful, and you'll find joy. So for what are you thankful? Are you thankful for your parents? Are you thankful for your children? Are you thankful for your spouse? Are you thankful for the people you work with? Are you thankful for the aliens? Are you thankful for the widower? The widow? Are you thankful for the orphan? Do you make Thanksgiving something special? Or is it just a turkey and some cranberry sauce? So the point of Thanksgiving is people. It's at the very core of it. You know what? If they could be thankful in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, and we have such a better covenant, if they could be thankful for what they had, I can be thankful for what I've got. How about you? Come on. I mean, we've got a better covenant. And if those people coming across on that Mayflower, with 50% of them dying from disease and cold and sickness, could be thankful. If they could find something to give thanks in when their children and their loved ones had perished right before their very eyes, then surely you can find something to be thankful for. Amen. And you can take time. Thank God. And thank people. And isn't that what Jesus said? You know, he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Be thankful to God. Be thankful to people. Everything else hangs on that. Your harvest hangs on it. Your joy hangs on it. Find a place to be thankful. What are you thankful? For what are you thankful? Find a place this season, this week. Get alone. Come before God. Enter His presence with singing and thankfulness and joyfulness. Say, God, thank you. And then find people who you're doing life with. Pick up that phone. Call somebody. I'm thankful for you. Because your harvest and your joy is directly connected to your thankfulness. I want to finish up today by reading you a poem. Found it on the internet. I was just cruising the net and looking for stuff, these quotes and pictures and stuff like that. Anyway, I found this poem. I want to read it to you. I'll let you read it with me. But count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Amen. I want to wish each of you a happy Thanksgiving. But I hope I have stimulated you to help you understand what it's really about. It's really about people. Happy Thanksgiving 2001 to each of you.